Scott Petrak from the Illyrio Chronicle Telegram going to join us momentarily to talk about what has been obviously a very eventful offseason as we head into summer break. Also, Scott is my unofficial golf coach, and we might break down my awful golf game because, it's pretty bad. I decided to take it up. I was looking for little outlet, little exercise, and I figured no better way to exercise than the golf course. And I finished dead last in our 92-3 The Fan golf scramble. So technically, I am an award-winning golfer, just not a good golfer, but award-winning nonetheless. Let's head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Scott is ready to go. Scott, thanks for the time. Happy Father's Day.
Thanks, D-Rod. I appreciate that.
So how'd you hit him this morning?
And I hit him great on the range and not as great on the course. But it was nice to get out there with most of the rain, so I'll take it.
Isn't that the way it goes, though, right?
Always. Always. But, yeah, it was something. I hit about 10 drives on the range. They were all perfect. And I think I hit about 2 good drives on the course.
Yeah, sounds like me. who's winning the Open today?
You know what? I'm going to go with Justin Rose just because I really like him, and it feels like Woodland is not going to be able to keep it up for 4 straight days. I would be worried about Koepka. I mean, the guy's so solid. It's obviously tough to win 3 in a row and win 5 majors in however long it's been for him, 2.5 years. But if those guys at the top stumble, Koepka's going to be ready to pounce.
I keep it 100. You know me. Am I the worst golfer you've ever seen? It's okay.
Close.
You can be honest.
No, I'm trying to think. You're fresh in my mind, so I know exactly what those shots look like. I'm trying to think. You know, I played my wife a couple times. I think you could take her, Daryl.
Don't tell her that.
But I think she'd be okay with that. But it's tough. I mean, I think I saw you the first time you ever hit golf balls. So you should be, the bar should be set low, and it should be nowhere but up for you. And I'll tell you what, it was better than I thought it would be. Going with you to the range, I thought, oh, man, this is going to be ugly. And I didn't think it was that bad at all.
All right, too kind. Scott Petrak from the Illyrio Chronicle Telegram and BrownZone.com joining us on the show. School's out for summer, Scott, for us. The Browns, they're on summer vacation like we are. But yesterday was a lot of fun. Jarvis Landry had his celebrity softball game. I got to ask you, though, as a softball aficionado, grade what you saw on the field.
Daryl, you're a better golfer than some of those guys that are softball players. There were some bad, I was writing, so I wasn't watching every play, but it felt like every time I looked up, a guy was misjudging a fly ball, booting a ground ball, and they weren't running the bases well at all. I was not impressed by most guys. I tell you what, Blake Jackson can play. He played third, the Browns receiver. He's fighting for a roster spot.
Yeah.
He played third and knew what he was doing. But most of those guys did not know what they were doing.
You know what? I agree with you wholeheartedly. If you listen to the game on The Fan, Adam the Bull, Ken Carmen, Anthony Lima, 2 of the best hours of radio we have ever done on this radio station, let me tell you.
I missed that.
I mean, it was just absolutely incredible. All right, let's get serious here a little bit. Joe Hayden was in town. He hosted the game a couple of years ago. He showed up. His team lost. But I got to tell you, Scott, you know, Joe's always been a class act. He's one of my favorite players that I've covered in my 20 years covering the Browns. He could be so bitter about how things ended in Cleveland and whatnot. But I was taken aback at how happy he and genuinely happy he was for the Browns and Cleveland and the fans that this team's actually finally going to be watchable.
Yeah, it was interesting talking to Joe, and it's great to see him. And he's being genuine. You know, I really do think that that's how he feels, that he's glad for the fans. He's glad for guys like Christian Kirksey, who he mentioned, that finally get to be on a team that looks like it's going to be pretty good. You know, and then I asked him, you know, and I said, don't you wish that you had been here for this turnaround? And, you know, I don't know the exact quote, but at the end it was like, yeah, that would be sweet, you know? And I think you do, you know, for a guy that really devoted himself to this town, and I remember him showing up at the Indians games in full uniform and going to the Cavs games, for a guy that immersed himself in Cleveland and didn't have to, you know, I mean, went to Florida, he's a Baltimore guy growing up, he bought in, and for it to end the way it did with him was, you know, it stunk, you know, and Sashi cut him and thought he wasn't worth the contract, and I think Sashi misjudged that because I thought Joe Still was playing at a high level, and he showed that with Pittsburgh, and he's going to get another big contract from Pittsburgh. And then to see how the Browns are eventually able to turn, or look like they're able to turn it around, you know, Joe, I think he has regrets. I think he wishes, if you caught him on a real honest moment, he would tell you, yeah, I wish I were with Cleveland when it got turned around and not with the Steelers.
Scott Petrak, the Illyria Chronicle Telegram, brownzone.com on the hotline. Scott, Sean Merriman was impressed with him yesterday, had a lot of great things to say about the Browns. The thing that really took me aback is, you know, he's such a big fan of Myles Garrett and what he had to say about Garrett. And he thinks he has the potential not only to just be a star, but one of the greats to ever do it. I mean, that's some pretty high praise.
It really was. And what struck me is he talked about the versatility that Garrett has. And he says he thought he could play him at D-tackle. He thought he could play him over the nose. And I just wonder how much variety we're going to see with Steve Wilks as the defensive coordinator. Because I kind of like my ends to line up at end and go rush the pass. And if you got that speed move around the corner, which we know Miles does, why mess with it? But I know that when the Eagles won the Super Bowl a couple of years ago, they would bump their guys inside. And Brandon Graham would have pressure. I think the biggest play of the game in the fourth quarter, the pressure came when he lined up inside. So I don't think you want to do it a ton with Miles.
Right.
And John Dorsey said that. But it just if you do it five snaps a game, it could be a play that changes the game. So I thought that was interesting what he said about Miles. And he also said he likes how the Browns are chasing that ring and that a lot of teams are too conservative and don't go for it. And John Dorsey obviously is going for it. And I think that should be appreciated. And Joe Hayden mentioned that too, that not every front office is willing to do that. And the Browns have one that is.
Well, it's about time, though. It's been 19 years, right?
Well, yeah, you're right. And the fact is some other guys have gone for it and just have missed. Right?
Blown it, whiffed, right.
And if you miss on a quarterback, if you miss on free agents, it doesn't matter how bold you are. It's not going to work. And then we all know the last regime didn't go for it, and we saw how that worked out.
Scott, Chiefs tight end and, of course, Cleveland Heights native Travis Kelce also on hand yesterday for Landry's softball game. I found his comments about Kareem Hunt to be a little reassuring. You know, obviously the video, it speaks for itself. It's pretty damning. I wrote about it last night. I'm sure you did as well. But, you know, he talked to Baker Mayfield. He talked to a couple other Browns players and really kind of gave Kareem Hunt the person a two thumbs up. What was your takeaway?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. You know what? I keep coming back. I think the Kareem Hunt situation is so interesting because, you know, we all know what we saw in the video. We know the Chiefs cut him immediately, said that he had lied to him about what had happened. But you hear good things. And John Dorsey says Kareem Hunt's doing all the right things. And Freddie Kitchen says that. And Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes give him their endorsement. But yet, part of me is reluctant to assume that he's going to be back in week 10 because you just never know. You never know if another video pops up. You never know if another incident happens. But when I hear a guy like Kelce talk, who knows him really well, it makes me think, yes, he's going to be here week 10. Now, I don't think there's any guarantees there. I think, you know, part of the reason you don't trade Duke Johnson is because there's no guarantee Kareem Hunt will be there week 10, just given the background and given the fact that he is going to start the season on suspension. But listening to Travis Kelce makes me feel better about the fact that Kareem Hunt will become eligible and then be able to stay eligible.
Kelce sounded like a guy he wishes he was a Brown, didn't he?
He did. You know, I mean, he talked about how the team went away, you know, when he was growing up and how he missed it. And he mentioned Tim Couch. And, you know, I think he's got a great personality. Travis Kelce does. And, I mean, he's a big-time player, too.
Right.
And that's the other thing he said about Kareem Hunt is just as him as a ball player, he just said you give him the ball twice and he can change the game. And we haven't seen him in a game yet with the Browns. We've seen him in practice, and I'll tell you what, as soon as you see him in practice, you know that talent is so obvious that he has. The, you know, his feet are great. He catches the ball great. You know, and I think I tend to not mention him a lot because he's not going to be on this team the first 8 games of the season.
Right.
But when you look at everything they've done in this offseason, you really can't leave him out, because if he plays, he's going to have a big impact.
Scott, what do you I mean, both sides of the ball, they on paper are stacked, and that's why everybody's really excited about this team and believe that they're going to end the playoff drought, they're going to end the division title drought. What concerns you the most? For me, it's the linebackers. I don't think that they're deep enough there, but they seem to have compensated by beefing up the front end and the back end of the defense. What's your biggest concern headed into the season?
I would say right guard, just because we don't know who's going to be the guy there. We assumed it was going to be Austin Corbett. My guess is that it will be Austin Corbett week one, but the fact that there's a competition there worries me a little bit. And the way this season could go sideways a couple different ways. You know, one of them is the season starts poorly, they go 2-5, and everybody freaks out, and it just goes sideways. I don't think that's going to happen, but, you know, I think that's a scenario that you can't rule out.
Okay.
The other way is if Baker Mayfield gets hurt. And the easiest way for that to happen is whoever's playing right guard can't block somebody, and he lights up Baker Mayfield. So, you know, I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think Baker really helps the offensive line just by how quickly he gets rid of the ball and the way he's able to slide in the pocket. But the one area I would be concerned about is that right guard spot. And then maybe the depth on the D-line. You know, I think Gerald McCoy would have helped, and obviously they didn't sign him. I love the front 5 or 6 guys. I'm a little worried about the depth after that.
I'm worried about the kickers, too. I mean, they lost a couple games last year because they couldn't make kicks. And I got to be honest with you, neither one of these guys really made me feel all that comfortable. And I realize it's only spring and they're working on stuff or whatever. But there's a part of me that is thinking maybe John Dorsey, after the final roster cuts, doesn't just go get someone off the street.
I could see that happening. I really could. You know, I like Greg Joseph more than some people do. I think he's going to have a hard time winning the job because Austin Seibert was a fifth-round draft pick, and therefore he has the innate advantage because you don't want to cut a guy you just drafted.
Right.
Having said that, I think kickers are an interesting thing for the whole league because GMs don't want to spend a lot of money on kickers. They kind of feel like you can find one wherever. You can just pick one up. And while I understand that philosophy, and I don't know, I think kickers ebb and flow so much that it's not worth spending a ton of money on a guy unless he's been on your team a long time and you feel great about him, like a Justin Tucker or Steven Gostkowski. But having said that, I think if I were GM, I wouldn't want to spend the money, but then I'd be worried night and day that the guy that I'm with is going to cost me games. And I'm sure John Dorsey's thinking like that. And if it happens early, that's the kind of position where, one, it kills the team
right. Because
you don't have confidence in your kicker. And then I could see them having 5 different kickers throughout the year looking for one that can get hot for a couple of games.
Yeah, the Chargers did that last year, if I remember correctly. And you know what? Maybe they're just going to run the Oklahoma offense where you just expect them to kick extra points all the time.
Yeah, and maybe it won't matter. Maybe they'll, you know, you'd say maybe they'll blow teams out, and there's that potential. But the fact is, these games are going to be close. Like, everybody's saying the Browns are going to win 12 games or whatever. The NFL is not like that. Mm-hmm. The NFL is built to be a bunch of close games, which means your quarterback's got to play well in the fourth quarter, you got to have a pass rush in the fourth quarter, and you got to make some kicks. And I like the quarterback. I like the defensive line, and I think it'll be much better in the fourth quarter this year than it has been, especially if you have the lead. But the making kicks is still a question mark.
Last one, I'll leave you this one, Scott, because it's all about us in the media, right? I mean, that's the way it works. Are we ready for the circus that's going to come to town this year? I covered LeBron both stints, and it was a 3-ring circus with all the national people coming to town. But I got to be honest with you, I'm going to kind of miss it just, you know, being you, me, Mary Kay, Tom Withers, Nate, Zach. We're going to get crushed this year, aren't we?
I have a feeling that's going to happen. And I got a couple thoughts. One is, it's busy enough. This job is busy enough when they were bad, right?
Right. Oh, yeah, average. Always a story. Yeah. It just wrote itself.
Right. It's going to be insane if they're a playoff team. It really is going to be. And then my second thought is, the only way I'm going to be prepared for it is if I get to play enough golf in the next 5 weeks. So you better do something about the rain, because I need some relaxation time on the golf course, and this rain is not helping.
Hey, you know what? I earlier in the show, Scott, I said, I don't want to be complain about the weather guy, but I'm going to sit here and complain about the weather. It hasn't stopped raining since December, and, you know, I'm trying to take up golf. I'm with you. Like, I'm trying to take up golf. The only way I'm going to get better is if I get the reps, and the only way I'm going to get the reps is if it's dry.
I know. I hear you, buddy. I mean, I'm trying to plan my week, and it's tough to plan a trip to the golf course when your phone app just has rain every day. So, I don't know.
Maybe all those national people are right. It's always gray and miserable here in Cleveland. Scott, happy Father's Day to you. Hope you're able to enjoy it with the family, and we really appreciate the time.
Thank you, Dale.
Thanks, Scott. Scott Petrak, Elyria Chronicle-Telegram, and you can also read his work online at brownzone.com.